Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we continue our broadcast today on Let's Face the Issues, we're dealing with the subject of lawlessness. Let me drop in an announcement for you and an invitation. This Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church, that is on May the 15th at 10 o'clock a.m., we're going to have the Mark 5 Quartet in concert with us, singing some wonderful gospel hymns that I believe will be a blessing to you. You're invited to come. Listen for just a moment, one of the songs that they'll be singing.
I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with joy in my soul, 'cause I knew my Lord had control. Well, I knew I was walking in the light, 'cause I'd been on my knees in the night.
Ladies and gentlemen, some of the singing that you're hearing now will be some of that we'll enjoy on Sunday morning, May the 15th at 10 o'clock. With the Mark 5 Quartet in concert with us. It's not going to be some of that pop-up music with the pop-up churches, with voodoo theology, and the rock and roll music, call it gospel music. We're talking about the good old-fashioned, God-honoring gospel music that will be put forth for us on Sunday morning the 15th. First Conservative Baptist Church, we're located exactly 1 mile south of I-295, right on Old St. Augustine Road, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. We'd love to have you as our guest. You're invited. 10 o'clock this Sunday morning as we enjoy the Mark 5 Quartet. And, of course, right after they get through with their concert, we'll be bringing a wonderful Bible message that I believe will be an inspiration and a challenge to each and every one. You're invited to join us Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, May 15th. Just before the news break, we're talking about lawlessness that's in our land. It's pervading our society today. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I have two questions for you. One of them is, if you read Genesis 16 and 19, it talks about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what it appears to me is if homosexuality is left unchecked, it'll finally get to a point to where if you go into a city that is totally controlled by debauchery, that you have to have sex. You'll be raped by the occupancy there. And I'm just wondering, is that a warning to us, or is that just an old fable of homosexuality left unchecked?
All the scriptures given for our edification, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it's for our instruction, for our edification, and for our benefit, that we will be warned of what is taking place, has taken place, and shall take place, lest we're surrendered and submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's a warning, without any question. And some sodomites and some of those that are pushing for the sodomite LGBTQ CRT agenda, they do not recognize that, according to the scripture, sodomy, the committing of sodomy, is a sin, the only sin that God destroyed two cities and turned them over to a reprobate mind, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 26 through verse 32. And a reprobate mind is illustrated in the Romans chapter 1 text about verse 31 and 32. And when you read that, you understand why they are such demonically controlled human beings. Now, listen very carefully, Tom, and for others listening. There's some that say, well, you hate those people. No, I don't. I hate the sin which God says we ought to hate. I love the individual, but I will not tolerate, we ought not as Christians tolerate, put up with, embrace, or cherish, or in some way celebrate the sin. And these are the same type of people that are going into churches now under the guise and the auspices of being angry about the Supreme Court's supposed ruling as far as the draft came out. That said, they're going to overturn Roe versus Wade. They're using it as an excuse to go out and to commit lawlessness. And a lawless society will reap the whirlwind if we do not check it. And right now, for years, and it's coming to the great crescendo under the Biden administration, there's no checking, that is, no curtailing of the lawlessness. And we're about to lose our constitutional republic as a result of it. So, Tom, you're exactly right, brother.
Yeah, My other question is now it's legal to take a perfectly healthy infant out of a mother's womb and kill it because it's really has the mother's deemed it has no value. The government looks at it. It can't vote. It owns no possessions. It creates no good to society. So therefore, it has no value. So my question is, I can remember in 92 when Clinton was elected, it showed Pennsylvania Avenue and there was a parade and there was gays and they had signs. They looked respectable, you know, they gay pride or something like that. But this one news shot showed a side street. And there was these individuals who were half clothed. They had a loincloth wrapped around them, and they had like war paint on and a headband on. And they had a sign. I'll never forget. It said, "Send Chelsea out. We're queer as hell." And I'm just wondering, Dr. Youngblood, if you investigate, and those people don't really have a job. They don't really vote. They're not really contributing anything to society. Would it? Will we get to a point where they're destroyed like the baby is?
One of the things that we need to understand, Tom, and I hear your question, we need to understand that these people, if you read the scripture right, and in Romans chapter 1, the Bible says God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. That means a debauched, demeaned, darkened mind. And when God turns them loose, turns them over to a reprobate mind, they are thinking and doing nothing but evil on a continual basis. And Tom, the thing that I'm wanting us to recognize is that we're in a lawless society where if I were to stand before the school board, if you were to stand before the school board and say something that the school board views as being demeaning or challenging to them, according to Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States of America, we're domestic terrorists. But we can have these street thugs go out and firebomb a pro-life building. They can go out and threaten the Supreme Court justices, camping out on their doorsteps, knocking on their doors, threatening the families, and nothing is done. That is the epitome of lawlessness. And if we don't check it now, it'll be too late tomorrow, too late the next day, too late the following year. And I am concerned that nothing is being done that will check and control the lawlessness. But by the way, the movement says, my body, my life, and that I can make a decision on my own body. Now, that's fine if you want to do so. But if you can say it's my body, my control, and I can have an abortion if I want to, why can't I say no to a mask? Why can't I say no to a COVID jab that's going to destroy my life and my health? But yet, at the same time, there's not a recognition that the life in that womb is another life. You can control yours if you want to, but you ought not have control over life and death of that infant, which is another human being in the mother's womb. Therein lies the major, major differentiation of this question that we are faced with today. But Tom, thank you so much for your question, for your input, dialogue, and discussion on this issue today. And as I say to each and every one, keep looking up because our redemption draweth nigh. It's dark, but as Dr. Adrian Rogers said a number of years ago, it's gloriously dark. for we're getting closer every day to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much
for
your call. Yes, sir. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood.
God bless you. Thank you for calling. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
You know, there is so much going on in the world right now. We could talk for hours and hours about the chaos with the current case, the instant cases, this U.S. Supreme Court decision that appears to be forthcoming, and I'm looking forward to that day. It's 49 years late, but I'm looking forward to the day. Interestingly, you know, and Tom touched on some of this, there's a second life obviously involved. We're not talking about just a woman's right. You know, as far as I'm concerned, a woman does have a right, has certain autonomy over her body, and so also a man, but you do not have that right over another human being. That little baby in the womb has its own fingerprints, its own heartbeat, its own blood supply, its own DNA, its own arms and legs. That is a separate being, a separate entity, and that baby deserves protection and deserves rights. I mean, we give rights to unborn eggs from sea turtles, unborn, unhatched eggs from eagles, and all other critters. I mean, literally, it's into the thousands of critters that before they're ever born, they have rights under the laws in the United States. 30 states at least have laws that say that if you kill a pregnant woman and her baby dies as well, that there's a double homicide, or a homicide and a manslaughter. So how can there be a homicide or a manslaughter when that's not a life that deserves protection? So there's not ambiguity in the law. There's complete hypocrisy in the law many times. How did we get here? How did we
lawlessness.
Get here?
Lawlessness. Lawlessness is the key to it.
There's lawlessness. There's lawlessness, and I think that lawlessness, I mean, I can point to a lot in the pulpit, but from a political standpoint, from a secular standpoint, there's a provision in Article 2 of the Constitution in Section 3 that requires that the president see that the law be faithfully executed. That's an obligation. That's
yes.
Regardless of what the president thinks politically, the law, as it is written, is required to be faithfully executed. Now, think about what happens when you don't faithfully execute the law as written. That returns us to a law of kings, where literally the law shifts based upon who's in the White House. That's not what we created. We created a system, a standard, under which, by which, through which, the law be consistently, faithfully executed. This man appoints heads of departments, ambassadors, judges, and all these. And it seems as though every appointment seeks to undermine the law, to fail to enforce it. Is the law being enforced on our border today? No, it's not. As a matter of fact, everything in the world they can do to avoid enforcing the law, and as much as this Mayorkas says he wants more money in the budget to be able to take care of the border, when he's questioned on that, when he's hemmed in, all of a sudden you realize he doesn't want to enforce the law. He wants to let more people in. Now, and you've got some Christians out there. You even have some pulpits in America saying, well, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. We ought to, you know, look out for the needy. Tell me, folks, we have a system. We let more people into this country, a million a year immigrants come to this country, which is more than any other country on the face of the planet. How many can we assimilate within the country? 1 million? 2 million? 3 million? Right now we're at 3 million from last year. Can we go 4 million? 5 million? 6 million? How many can we pay for and assimilate? Tons of these folks, they can't legally, lawfully work in this country. Therefore, they will live on the tax rolls, for the good graces of government, if you will. That means you get to pay for it. How many can you afford? By the way, we're in the hole, $30 trillion right now, plus over $100 trillion in offline debt. How many more? How much can be sustained within this country? And that's one issue. That is one sole, solitary issue. And there are dozens of catastrophic issues similar to that issue across America today.
And all of it, Greg, as you're saying, leading to total lawlessness. I'm looking at an article by Mark Levin. It says Supreme Court Roe versus Wade leak is a grave assault and warns U.S. institutions we are going to collapse. Political commentator Mark Levin said Monday the leak of a draft majority opinion is a grave assault on the Supreme Court. further in the article, it says, when you conduct yourself in an utterly lawless way, attacking the institutions of this country, attacking the founding documents of this country, attacking the history of this country, this is what you get. Total lawlessness, end quote. Further, he added, it's just a matter of time. All these institutions are going to collapse. This is a grave assault on the Supreme Court. Further, he says this. The political commentator later added that the Democratic Party is complicit in destroying this country in lawlessness and said they're fighting Republicans every step of the way, end quote. Greg, I view it as you just a moment ago stated so succinctly. There seems to be a move to do everything that's contrary to law, and it is lawlessness that is prevailing. Greg, hold just a moment. We'll have Kenneth on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Did you say
Go ahead with your question or comment. Yes.
Yes. I'm a black man, right? And Black Lives Matter does not matter to me because they don't care about black lives.
You're right.
They're just pulling up their pocket. And Nancy Pelosi, I call her the Wicked Witch of the East, West, North, and South.
That's a good description,
really,
brother.
The Democratic Party, really, we have to get them out. We really have to get them out.
You're right.
Yeah.
Brother, you're exactly and right. You're spot on with what you're saying. Last week, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said Pamela Harris. I definitely don't want her to be president.
We're in danger enough as it is. We'd be in peril, danger, major peril if Kamala Harris were to become president. You're exactly right. What we're finding is, brother, we're finding everything that is contrary to lawfulness, where everything that is lawlessness seems to be pervading and prevailing in America today. And if you or I were to take the stand publicly and go out and to do the rioting and the demonstrating and say, this is because we're Christians, this is because we believe in human rights, this is because we believe in the life in the womb, then we would be summarily arrested, prosecuted, persecuted, put in prison, and the keys thrown away. But the other side of the aisle seems to think that they are the only ones that have the right to break the laws, and we're simply to sit back and be silent, do nothing, and accept it. And this is the reason I say, brother, that it's time for Christians to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Stop being lied to. Stop believing the lie and stand up and speak the truth in love as God has ordained and called on us to do. We're to be salt and light in the community and in our nation.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All the Democratic states that defund the police, you have more murders now, carjackings in the daytime, that is silly. That is, I don't know, they're trying to create chaos, I believe.
Yes, sir. You're exactly right. They're trying, you see, with the present governmental system and mindset that we have, they create a monster, they create a devastating event, they create a problem, and then they come in as the knight in shining armor that says we're going to resolve the problem, and the resolution of the problem is to build back better, Joe Biden's mantra himself, and to build back better is nothing but a socialist Karl Marx mantra. And it means to tear down the system we presently have. Their goal, Joe Biden and the Democratic Party, their goal is to tear down and to undermine and eviscerate our Judeo-Christian foundation and to build it back in a socialist, Marxist, communist manner and destroy the Constitutional Republic called the United States of America. Your insight on that is exactly right, brother. All I can say is,
we would say we'd take them, they behind to court, the Black Lives Matter.
They need to lock them up, throw the keys away, brother. You know, the three leaders that started that demonic organization, all three women, two of the women say that they are, quote, queers, their term, not mine, and that they're highly trained Marxists. Well, a Marxist has three major goals: to divide the nation, to dethrone God, and to destroy the conventional marriage. And that's what we see taking place today. And they knew that by calling it Black Lives Matter, by putting a racial tint to it, that somehow, some way, people would not touch it, being afraid that they would alienate somebody and be called a racist. and those that are involved in the Black Lives Matter are absolute racists trying to get their way by bullying and by thuggery that they could not get lawfully in any other fashion. So, brother, all we can do is keep on praying, keep looking up, realizing that God's on the throne, God's not asleep, God's not on vacation.
Yes, sir. If that's the case, I'm a racist.
You and I both, brother. Yes, sir. Thank you for calling. God bless you today.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, God bless you. Thank you for calling. Greg, how do you respond to the thoughts?
Listen, Kenneth's eyes are wide open. Kenneth's eyes are wide open, and he is sharing wisdom and truth, and that's what we need to see more of. The fact of the matter is, the notion of race is a racist thing. God only went to the dust of the earth once, and from Adam and Eve, I don't care if you're red, yellow, black, or white, we're all descendants of Adam and Eve, of Shem, Ham, or Japheth, generations later. We are not different as God sees us. You know, as many times been said, you cut us, we all bleed red. That's the reality. However, these leftists, these Democrats, these racists that are running the system today, they say if Roe v. Wade is overturned, that black and brown people will be negatively impacted the most. Well, if what they mean is black and brown people won't murder their offspring as often, well, then they're right, okay? Because going back to the origins of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger was a racist. She hated black and brown people. She started the Negro Project to exterminate black and brown people, okay? And that's why today Planned Parenthood clinics across the United States are more likely to be in black and brown neighborhoods. And that's why we've seen about 20 million black and brown people murdered through abortion. Is she getting what she wanted? I think she is. I think she is. And of course, the Democrats have a long legacy of racism. Your Robert Byrd, that even Hillary Clinton praised so highly, this was a former Klansman, a recruiter, a grand poobah, whatever these ranks are with it. Grand Wizard, I think, is what they called the man. But the Democrat Party started the Ku Klux Klan to go after Republicans and to go after black folks because they were just incensed at the expansion of the rights and freedoms of former slaves. How do you like that? Now, if we teach true American history, black people, brown people, white people, yellow people, red people, we would all upchuck at the words, the name Margaret Sanger. We would upchuck at the reference to Planned Parenthood. But Planned Parenthood, they will take in $600 or $700 million in taxpayer money this year. Oh, and they'll spend another $125, $150 million supporting Democrats this year. How do you like that, folks? You're literally paying for your own demise as you support these organizations. It's
right. You're exactly right. Hold your thoughts for just a moment. We'll have Matthew on the line. Matthew, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Well, I just want to say this. They've had an agenda in mind, and they thought they were going to exterminate the Christians and all the right-wing people. But what they've done is they've woken our Lord and Savior up, and he's starting to talk. And this Roe versus Wade being overturned is nothing short of the Word of God. You can believe that, and it's going to happen. And no matter what they do, they're not going to win this. And that's the thing. They know there's a short time, and they're going to lose. There's no possibility they can win, but they're going to take out as many people along the way as they can with them. And you know what? As long as we stand for truth and stand for God, we will continue to win even when it looks like we're losing.
Amen. We win in the end. I've read the last chapter of the book, brother, and I know who wins in the end. We win in the end. In the interim, however, as you know, we're going to face persecution and prosecution that I believe the Christian is not ready for. Pastor Brunson, that was held captive in Turkey and was released as a result of the President Donald J. Trump's actions when he was in office. He just recently wrote a major article, says that he was afraid that Christians were not ready, not able, not ready to face the persecution and prosecution that we're about to face in America today. But in the end result, you're exactly right. We win in the end. Matthew, thank you so much for your call. Greg, let me turn the key just for a moment. With all of this taking place, we're talking about lawlessness. And all that we've said is talking about lawlessness. What do you think about now that we have the lawless people on the doorsteps, on the front lawns, in front of the houses of the Supreme Court justices, threatening, chanting and threatening them unless they change their decision in the Roe versus Wade draft that was put out that shows that five of the Supreme Court justices ruled to overturn Roe versus Wade. Is that legal? Is that lawful? Should those demonstrators be locked up? Are the laws on the books that says that they can't do what they're doing?
Well, it's U.S. Code literally prohibits. It's like 18 U.S.C. 1502, 1503, somewhere in there. It prohibits protest outside the residences of judges and even the Supreme Court while court's in session, if those protests are intended to change the outcome. I mean, it literally fits right in with jury tampering. All right. And U.S. Code allows for jail for up to a year, along with fines and other penalties associated for doing these things. And of course, beyond that, we're literally seeing a risk to a threat to life. I mean, the left seems so hung up on slaughtering children that they're willing to threaten other violence if they don't get their way. And, you know, you've got your David French types out there. Oh, my goodness, what a miserable human being, professes to be a Christian. He obviously does not know the word of God, because in the midst of these situations, he'll say, turn the other cheek, turn the other cheek. No. There are laws, state by state, and federal laws that govern these things. It's not a matter of, oh, you need to turn the other cheek. No, the law needs to be faithfully executed. Laws in the state of Florida say you can't disrupt a church service, but I guarantee you church services were disrupted over the weekend. Mother's Day services. State of Tennessee makes it unlawful to interrupt a church service or a school service or any other event. And it's amazing how many believers, not only they don't know the law, they don't know their Bible, and they completely misapply these things. And over, I'll point out Paul, the same one that says in chapter 13 we ought to submit, Paul also claimed his rights as a Roman citizen. How do you like that? How do you like that? The reality is believers, by failing to know their Bible and failing to know the laws, failing to know their rights and responsibilities as a good citizen and as a good Christian, they're allowing chaos to ensue.
Yes.
And, you know, I know time is wrapping up here. I'd say refer every one of you to 2 Timothy chapter 4, the first few verses. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I say, preachers and teachers that have ignored that text have let us arrive at the point and the place that we are today, with the chaos.
Yes.
And believers.
Absolutely.
Thinking that it's acceptable.
Right. Greg, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.